Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Do y'all have that hallelujah feeling down inside? There you go. There you go. You may be seated. Well, as always, it's an honor and privilege to have the opportunity to come and share. You know, I personally am so thankful to Pastor Allen and Miss Joy. They've been a huge blessing to me and my family. But I don't know if you realize how blessed we are to have pastors like them. So let's give them a hand this morning. You know, I'm touching on a subject this morning I think can be weighty, but I want to paint a picture as we get started here in a Derek kind of way. You know, early on, when I was in junior high school, I wanted to have a girlfriend. So I remember on the first day of school, I went up to this girl and I said, "Hey, will you be my girlfriend?" And she was like, "Okay." And so she was now my girlfriend, and I didn't talk to her again until the last day of school when she broke up with me. It's a real story. And then I contrast that when I met my wife, and I really wanted to get to know her, and I came up close. I listened to her. I studied her. I learned everything about her. Why? Because I wanted to be in relationship. I wanted to be close and connected with her. And I think the same thing is similar for us as believers. Back then, when I was in junior high school, I was in love with the idea of having a girlfriend, but I didn't really know what it took to be in a relationship. And I think as believers sometimes, we love the idea of being a Christian, but do we really understand what that takes? You see, I found we love the fact that we call ourselves Christians, but we don't prioritize the same things that God prioritizes. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the Word of God, because the Word of God is important. Yes. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is about these friends one of their friends was sick. He was on a stretcher, and he talked about how Jesus was ministering in this home, and they couldn't get to him. And the Bible says they had great faith, so much so that they went up on top of a roof, made their own entryway, and lowered their friend down in front of Jesus. And Jesus talked about how he had not seen such great faith. But my favorite part in that passage was where it said the power to heal was present. In that passage, that man wasn't the only person who could have gotten a healing that day. Everyone who was in that place could have walked out there being healed. Well, guys, this morning, can I tell you, it is the same way with the Word of God. It doesn't matter if you're in a church service. It doesn't matter if you're reading the Bible. It doesn't matter if you're listening to a message. The Word of God has the power to change your very lives. It makes sick people whole again. It makes broken relationships mended. It takes those who are addicted to vices and chemicals, and it sets you free. The power to heal and change is present today. Amen? Amen. And that's the importance of God's Word. You know, one of our nine defining values around here is God's Word first. And that's what we have to do, is we have to put God's Word first. The Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Yes. Sometimes we let him start, but we don't let him finish it. And so today I want to talk to you about how we enable him and how we allow him to finish it in our lives. In Joshua 1:8, the Bible tells us this: "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." We see here a promise from God, and the only thing he's asking us to do is to make God's word first. But not only first, he says day and night. See, a lot of times, maybe you're like me. I don't want to point you out, but I'm going to point myself out this morning. See, I was, for a long time, trying to fit God into my life. And in reality, I am supposed to start with God and end with God. and fill in the gaps everywhere else. We have to make God's word first. The Bible tells us to meditate on his word. That's nothing more than to fill our minds with the scriptures and then to reflect on them over and over and over. And what happens is we'll begin to experience success and prosperity in every area of our lives. We'll see our families changed. We'll see our finances change. We'll see our health change. We'll see our careers change. You know, God, his scriptures, the Bible says that every word of God proves true. Yes. Okay, thank you, dear. Come on. That may not mean anything to you, but when I heard about that, it changed my life. So let me put it like this. Every word of God proves true for you. When you begin to reflect on the word of God, when you begin to grab onto the word of God and put it on the inside of you, it will change your life. Let me tell you, life happens to all of us, guys. And I'm pretty sure we all have our church face on this morning. But guess what? I guarantee you, some of y'all are going through something. All of us are going through something. But God's word can change it, no matter what it is. Why? Because his word always proves true. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor on the left. I don't trust the one on the right. Look at the one on the left. Look at your neighbor on the left and tell him, pay attention. Now, they just rolled their eyes. They're not listening to you. So now look at the person on the right and tell them, pay attention. You see, one of the things I found, guys, if we're going to experience the power of God in our life, we have to keep our focus on the word of God. It has to stay there. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, my son, be attentive to my words, meaning pay attention. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight, but keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they are life to those who find them and healing to all of their flesh. Do you know the word of God can heal your body? Do you know the word of God can heal your marriage? Do you know the word of God can heal your mind? Do you know the word of God can heal every aspect of your life? And all you have to do is to attend to it, to make it priority, to keep your focus on it, and it will change everything. That's the power that resides on the inside of the word of God. Yes. You know, and I'm not just telling you something that I've heard or what Pastor Allen's told me. I'm telling you something that I've learned. You know, some 20 years ago, we came here, and I was working for a job. And in that job, I began to experience something that I had never experienced before. I began to have panic attacks and anxiety and be fearful for no apparent reason. I couldn't sleep at night. I was agitated. I had a short fuse, and it was just going on and on and on for a long time till finally one day that woman that God gave me told me, look, you're going to have to do something because this ain't working. And I said, well, what does that mean? She goes, you need to go to the doctor or something. And I said, okay, so I went to the doctor. And I have a lot of friends who are medical professionals. I love medical professionals. And I went into this doctor, and I told him all of my symptoms, what I was struggling with, what I was dealing with, you know, and he's taking notes, and he's typing up everything. And then he looks at me, and he says, hey, you know what? You're depressed. You have depression. And he went into a closet, you know, went in, got some pills, gave me a bag, said, I want you to go, and I want you to start taking these, and in 2 weeks come back, and we'll see what we need to adjust, and we'll go from there. So I said, okay. So I went back home to that woman God gave me, and she said, what did the doctor say? I said, well, the doctor said, I'm depressed. She says, what does that mean? I said, well, I guess I'm depressed because the doctor said I was depressed. And she says, well, what does Jesus say? And then she walks out of the room. And I'm like, that's dirty. You don't throw Jesus out there and then walk out of the room. So to be honest with you, I was a little ticked off. I'm like, you're the Jesus card. What is that? But then I was like, wait a minute. What does Jesus say? And I began to read in the scriptures. In the 2 Timothy, there's a scripture that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And when I read that scripture, something went off on the inside of me. And I'm like, wait a minute. If God has not given me a spirit of fear, but he's given me a sound mind, if I have soundness of mind, there's no place for anxiety in my mind. And I began to, as I said, meditate, reflect on that, and go over it and over it and over it. And as I was going over it, it took me to another scripture that says, I have the mind of Christ. Yes. And I'm like, wait a minute. If I have the same mind in me of the one who saved me, who healed me, who set me free, he's not fearful. He's not anxious. He's not agitated. So why am I? I have the same mind that he does. Amen. And then it took me to another scripture that says, he gives his beloved sweet and precious sleep, because I wasn't sleeping at all. And I'm like, he gives it to me? And I remember I was meditating on it and studying it and going over it and over it, telling myself that I have soundness of mind, that I have the mind of Christ, that he gives me sweet and beloved sleep. And my wife will tell you, later that week, she said, I snored so loud the whole neighborhood heard me. Well, what happened? In my life, in that situation, the word of God proved true. Amen. Amen. The word of God is powerful. Yes. Every time you read it, every time you hear it, every time it comes forth, it can change your life if you will allow it to. But our part of it is we have to keep our focus on it. We have to pay attention to it, and we have to begin to internalize it and meditate on the word of God. There is a story in the Bible of a guy. His name is Naaman, and it's found in 2 Kings. And Naaman, the Bible says he was the commander of the army of the king of Syria. It describes him as a great and honorable man, a mighty man of valor. And it says, through him, the Lord brought victory to Syria. But then it's very clear that this same guy had leprosy. And I love this. They went into battle, and upon their victory, they brought back this young girl captive, and she served in his house, serving his wife. And I love that woman. She must have had strength about her, because here she is in captivity. She's not friends with these people. She doesn't know these people. She's in this strange land. But somewhere, somehow, what she'd experienced when it came to God and his presence made an impact on her, to where she was bold enough to tell his wife, hey, there's a man, a prophet, who can heal my master here. And when Naaman heard about this, he went to his king and asked if he could go to seek out this prophet to be healed. And so the king sent him on his way and sent him to the king in Elisha's land. And when he went, he sent a letter. And that letter said, you know, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that he might be healed. And this king, he was like, who am I to heal? I can't heal him. But when Elisha heard about this, let's see what it says in the scriptures. It says, so Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry and went away saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, my father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? And so he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You see, some of us are like Naaman, right? We have it all figured out about how life's going to happen, or how, now that I'm a Christian, how it's all going to go down, how it's going to work. And then when life happens, we get a little frustrated. We get a little agitated. But we have to be willing to do what Naaman did. You see, Naaman's situation didn't change until he obeyed the words that were spoken to him. You see, you and I, we have to focus on God's word and do what it says. We have to obey his word. And I guarantee you, if you obey his word, your life will change. About 3 weeks ago, there's a young lady who's been in some of my classes that I do with my wife, and she went through this traumatic event last year. Last year, about near broke her. I mean, it was bad. And I just applauded her, because 3 weeks ago I was looking at her and there is this light, this joy, this passion, this fuel about her. And when I asked her what happened, she said, I realized rather than running from God, I had to get into his word. And his word has changed her life. There's a joy about her. There's a passion about her. And she has this light about what lays ahead. And her best days are ahead of her. Why? Because the power of God has gone into operation in her life. And so you and I, we have to focus on God's word. We got to pay attention to it. and believe that his power will be made available to us. So the second thing here is I want to encourage you this morning to internalize the Word of God, to digest it, to eat it all up. It's not enough simply to hear the Scriptures or read the Scriptures, but we have to store it in our heart. Psalm 119, 111 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. You want to store God's word in your heart. I talk to people all the time, and they say all the time, I'm struggling in this area. I'm struggling in that area. Can I tell you? If you have the word of God on in your heart, it will anchor you. And when that temptation comes, you won't give in. The word of God is powerful. It can change your appetites. It can change what you're drawn to. And it will keep you from crossing over into sin. You know, my uncle, many years ago, came to know the Lord. But before he came to know the Lord, he told me this story about when he lived here in Houston. He used to work for AT&T. And he was one foot in the church, one foot in the world. And so, but he really wasn't reading the Word of God, wasn't doing his part, but he would go to church from time to time. But his ritual every Friday night is he would go to the local bar. I don't know what bar he went to. I've never been in a bar, but he went to some bar, and he would order his whatever drink, and he told me he would roll a joint, and that was his ritual. And he said this one night, after he rededicated his life to Christ and got back into the Word of God and started reading the Word of God, he ordered his drink, had just rolled his joint, and he grabbed a glass, and he said, as soon as he grabbed a glass, he heard the Lord say, these are my people too. And he was like, who said that? And then he began to hear the Lord speak to his heart, these are my people too. And he showed him that the grace that I've given to you, I've given to them as well. And then the scriptures he had been reading and meditating on began to come back up and come back to his remembrance. And he was like, man, God just ruined a good time. Said he got up and walked out of the bar. What happened? He had every intention of sinning that night, to going all in. But because he had prioritized the Word of God, gotten back into the Word of God, it kept him from crossing that threshold. The Word of God will help us to resist and overcome temptation. It will also give us clarity and understanding. Psalm 119 and 15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and I will fix my eyes on your ways. You ever find yourself saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what decision to make. I don't have a clue. I'm unsure. The Word of God will give you clarity. It will give you direction every time. You know, it has nothing to do with your education, has nothing to do with how long you've been walking with the Lord. The Word of God will bring everything into perspective for you when you prioritize it. Every single time. And so we want to make sure that we give it its proper place. Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and a delight. If you find yourself in a dark place, in a pit, struggling, the Word of God can become a joy and bring joy about in your life. Here's the thing, guys, we have to understand that life's going to happen to all of us, just like the young lady that I talked about earlier. Life's going to happen. It's going to happen. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from them all. How does he do that? By his word. How does he do that? Through his word. And so you and I, we have to focus on his word, and we have to internalize his word, get it on the inside of us. Why? And then it's going to begin to operate on our behalf, and it's going to prove true in your life. How many of you know that there's nothing too difficult for the Lord? There's nothing too difficult. What you're dealing with is nothing. What you're dealing with, it didn't catch God off guard. What you're dealing with, he has an answer for. What you're dealing with, he wants to lead you to that answer. What you're dealing with, he wants to use his word to get you out of that situation and place you in a new place. But we have to focus on his word, internalize it, and then trust that it's going to prove true in our lives. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell in you richly. We've got to saturate ourselves with the word of God. Get it all in us. Just like I shared that example earlier about having the mind of Christ, you want to get it on the inside. The Word of God has to become a part of who you are. Yes. You know, one of the first things, when I first started this thing out and started reading the Bible, I used to mess up. I still mess up, but I used to mess up a lot. And then there was a scripture that was shared in one of the church services that said, "There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." It's like, God, what do you mean? I don't have to condemn myself anymore? God doesn't condemn me, so why am I condemning myself? And so we have to saturate ourselves with the Word of God for us to be able to experience the power that resides on the inside of it. And so what we have to do is, again, allow Him to be first, allow Him to be last. See, sometimes we go through life on a Sunday morning, it's easy to come in here and say amen, to smile, to agree with everything that's being said up here. But when you go out there Monday through Saturday, you got to live it. And the way you're able to walk it out in the proper way is to focus on God's Word, internalize it, and hold on to it. Saturates yourself in it, and it becomes a part of who you are. And then what happens is, as the world, as life, as everything begins to put that pressure on you, what comes out of you will be the Word. You know, my wife, we're a funny couple. My wife, the best way to say it is we're different. So when I first met her, I asked her to go to the grocery store, and that was probably one of the first and last times I sent her to the grocery store by herself. But this woman went, this woman that God gave me, this woman went. She came home, she spent $300 at the grocery store, and she bought one pack of meat and $200-something worth of cleaning supplies. You don't need that much cleaning supplies. And if you do, you got problems. Now, on the flip side, I used to clean a whole house with Windex, which is nasty, but that's before Christ. That's a long time ago. But this same woman, to this date, she can be standing in the driveway, because she has this thing about sponges. She can be standing in the driveway and smell a dirty sponge in my kitchen. And she gets on me because I'll let the sponge sit in whatever is in the sink. And what's that about a sponge? Stop cringing. You're cringing right now. What's ever in a sponge, right? It takes on the properties of whatever it's soaking in. Right? And then what you squeeze out of it is what it's been soaking in. Well, life has this way of squeezing us. And if you haven't been saturating yourself in the Word of God, what comes out of you is not going to be the right things. You know, when Pastor Allen cuts you off on 45... none of y'all say praise God, right? I had this conversation with one of my children, and it was a good first service. I'm going to try not to say a name because they get on me about saying their names. They were talking to me about some challenges that they were having. And as they were going on and on and on, they never brought up the Word of God. They never brought up God at all. And so I stopped them. I said, "Hey, are you reading Bible 365? Which is a great way for me to stop and say, I know all of you are reading Bible 365, because as Pastor says every week, everybody in the Ark Church is reading Bible 365, right? No, just four of y'all are reading it. So I asked her, "Are you reading Bible 365?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "What else are you doing?" She goes, "Well, nothing." And can I tell you this morning, Bible 365 is not, if that's the only thing that you're reading, it's not enough. It's a start. You want to saturate yourself in the Word of God. Here's what I mean. I said, "Okay, I'm going to talk to you about this. We have 168 hours in a week." I said, "And you said you read Bible 365 every day." I said, "I'm a generous guy. I know it doesn't take you an hour, but I'm going to give you an hour every day that you're spending on Bible 365. So that's 7 hours in your week that you're spending in the Word of God. The other 161, what are you doing?" She says, "I'm watching Netflix." I said, "A she? Oh, man. Okay, that narrows it down." She says, "I'm watching Netflix. I'm talking to friends. I'm doing this." And she started naming things, you know, over and over and over. And so I said, "So now you see, when life happens, when you're struggling, when you need to deal with things, what comes out of you is what you've been spending the most time with." So if you spend your time watching this, that's going to come out of you. Spend your time hanging around friends who don't know the Lord, that's what's going to come out of you. You got to make sure that you spend enough time in the Word of God, and when life happens, what comes out of you is going to be the truth. What comes out of you is going to be the things that are going to help you in your life. And so we have to make sure we're spending our time on the right things, because pressures will come. So we want to focus on the Word of God. We want to internalize its meaning. And then my favorite part here is we want to apply God's Word in our daily life. You know, I tell people all the time, this is my phrase, life change happens in the application. If you don't like where you are today, change it. If you are not satisfied with where you are today, change it. What do I mean by that? What does the Word of God say? What do you, according to the Word of God, what adjustments do you need to make? And then just do it. Yeah. A lot of times we want people to hear what it is we're going through. We want them to agree with us. We want them to pray for us and show us sympathy. That's good, but then do something. Walk it out. If the Bible says forgive, forgive. Yes. If the Bible says take a step of faith, take a step of faith. If the Bible says give, give. Whatever it says, do it. And what you'll find is those steps of faith, those simple applications will begin to change your very life. Matthew 7, 24 and 27 says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." You see, we have to understand that a strong life is built on obedience of the Word of God, meaning walking it out. And hearing without doing leads to destruction. But obedience always leads to stability. We got to walk it out. We got to do something. What does the Word say? Do it. You know, I taught a message on this many years ago, but, you know, I grew up playing sports, and so one of the phrases that I grew up knowing all the time was Nike, just do it. And so when I read something, that's what I tell myself, even when it doesn't feel good. Like someone does me wrong, and I read the scriptures, and it says forgive 70 times, and I have to tell myself, Derek, just do it. But I didn't do anything wrong. Just do it. But they're a Christian. They know better. Just do it. We have to be obedient and walk it out, guys. And what we have to understand is this. In order for us to see the power of God's Word operate in our life, it's going to take a couple of things. It's going to take faith, meaning we have to trust and believe it. If God says it, then I believe it. Yes. God's faithful. He's good to me. And I'm fully persuaded that He's going to operate in my life. It's going to take hope, meaning having a confident expectation that God's going to move in my life, having a picture of what He's going to do in our lives. Amen. And it's going to take obedience. Yes. You're going to have to obey. Yes. You know, I talked about us coming here many years ago, and when I was dealing with anxiety. When we came from a pretty bad situation. I mean, we'd lost everything, gone through a really tough time. And, I mean, when I say everything, I mean we lost everything. Family, friends, finances, ministry opportunities. I mean, we hit rock bottom. And I remember for a good period, I had murmured and complained, and nothing turned around. But once again, that woman that God gave me, I'm thankful for her. And she directed me back to the scriptures. And as I got in the scriptures, the Lord began to do some things in my life. Well, right around that time, you know, we went to a smaller church, and our pastor did something that year that he'd never done before, about 200 people, and he said, "Hey, this year I feel led. I want you to seek the Lord and what He's getting ready to do in your life. Seek Him in the Word, and then we're going to get up and share with the rest of the church what God has shown you over your life." And again, in a smaller church, everybody knows your business. Everybody knows what's going on. And that night I watched as person after person got up, and they said, "God's going to bring a mate into my life. God's going to give me a new job. God's going to give me a new house. God's going to give me a new car," which is nothing wrong with those things. But in that season of life, for me and my family, it was critical. And I remember after spending some time with the Lord, and I was reading in the Word, I was actually reading in the Old Testament, about how God took, or how Moses went into a new land and his life forever changed. God showed me a picture, and I believe that God began to speak to my spirit and showed me that he was getting ready to take us in that state we were in to a new place. Amen. And that he was going to restore us in that new place. Yes. And do some mighty things. Yes. And so that night I got up after spending time in the Word of God. And I got up and I said, here's what God has shown me. He's getting ready to take us to a new land. He's going to restore us. I don't know how. I don't know when. But he's going to restore us financially. He's going to restore us in ministry. He's going to restore us in many different ways. And then, can I tell you, fast forward some 15, 18 years, I don't remember how long that was, but after being here on staff for a while, Pastor Allen gave me an opportunity to speak the first Wednesday night of 1 month. And I got up. You know, life had gone on. The Lord had restored to us financially. We'd got a home again. I'd been serving in ministry, and Pastor Allen asked me to speak one Wednesday night, and Pastor Allen did a video intro. I'll never forget it, and he said, I want to present to you Derek Thompson, and when I stood up, before I could say anything, God brought that picture back to my life, or back to my mind of what he had shown me some 15, 18 years earlier, and God showed me, he showed me that I'm bringing my word to pass in your life. My word is going to prove true in this situation. And guys, can I tell you, God's word always proves true. Yes, he is. He's faithful. Yes, he is. You see, when I first came to the Ark, I'd given up on ministry. I'd given up on church altogether. But God didn't give up on me. And the fact that I held on to his word, the fact that I held on to his promises, the fact that I held on to his word in spite of what other people said about me. You see, I had other people in my family who told me I was going to be just like other people in our family. That were no good. I had people in our church who talked about the fact that I had prison bars in my future. But I've learned that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of my faith. So I allowed him to have the first word and the last word in my life. And his last word is a good word. He's a restoring God. He's a faithful God. And he's a good God. And so we want to allow him to do what he wants in our life. And we can learn from others in the scriptures. There's a passage in Acts 17:11 about the Bereans. It says, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. And now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. The Bereans were commended because they focused on the scriptures, they confirmed the truth, and then they lived according to the word of God. That's what God wants for you and I. He wants to see us lifted up. He wants to see the crooked places made straight, dark places flooded with light. He wants to see your joy return, families restored, bodies healed. He wants to see those addicted set free. And in order for that to happen, we have to give the word its proper place in our lives. Will you bow your head this morning? You know, this morning we've talked about the word and its place in our lives, where it belongs. And you might be here this morning and you might say, you know, before I even can go there, Derek, I don't know this one, this man Jesus that you have referred to time and time again. So this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, like we do every week, we're going to give you an opportunity to make a decision that will turn the tide in your favor from this very day. So this morning, if you're here with us, if you're watching online, if you say, Derek, I don't know Jesus, but I want to make him my personal Lord and Savior, or if you say, Derek, I knew him at one time, but I've gotten off track, if either one of those scenarios fits where you are today and you're ready for a new beginning, I'm going to ask you, with every head bowed and eye closed, as an act of faith, if you'll raise your hand at this moment and say, that's me, I'm ready to change. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Thank you. You can put those down. Well, we're going to do what we do every week, and we're going to say a prayer together. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I am a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, I thank you for every person in this place that has made a decision to reconnect with you. And Lord, I thank you that today is the day that the tide of the battle is turning on their favor. Lord, I thank you for every household represented in this building today, watching us online. Lord, I thank you that you're doing a new thing and that every word from you will begin to prove true in all of our lives. Father, we thank you for your goodness and faithfulness to us, and we thank you that our best days are ahead of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.